One baby to another says I'm lucky to meet you.
Person listening, it's Thursday night. Is it Thursday night? Yeah, it's Thursday.
Yeah.
It's Thursday, and I'm here with Hot Stuff.
Thursday.
The reason that I can tell it's Thursday is because I'm here with Hot Stuff and not talking on Skype with Mr. Skullhead. So there's a little bit of buzz, but I think we're just going to have to cope with it and hope it is copacetic.
Are we just doomed to buzz anytime we're on this laptop?
Probably.
Could we try a different laptop?
If we had one.
And we have two. Here with us.
Oh yeah. Right. There's Riff's wind, but I think it's broken.
Cuz it hasn't been wound.
No, get it, cuz it's broken wind.
No.
Yeah, get it.
No.
So yeah, we're here in San Diego. Still?
Yeah.
Myself not having gotten a goddamn ounce of work done in the last 3 days. My mother came out to visit. We hung out, went and saw the plastinated corpses
again for a second time.
I saw them for a second time. Yeah,
yeah.
My mother saw them for the first time. She was a little weirded out by them.
They're kind of weird.
You know, it was weird. There's the one that's like the lady who's back is all spread out like angel wings. And
yeah.
So I went through with the little audio guide thing, and that was so the audio track on that one was not really about the lady. It was about people getting freaked out by the sort of posing of it. And my mom said that one in particular kind of weirded her out, but yeah. To me it didn't even occur to me to be weirded out by that.
It was one of the few that wasn't really in some sort of like natural pose, right? Like it wasn't.
Right, it was clearly a piece of art
yeah.
that had been made out of a corpse.
Yeah, which was weirder to me than like sort of using them to illustrate sort of what kind of stresses your body undergoes, or like what it looks like inside your body when you're doing something. Or
but I mean, do you really feel like the rest of them were?
I don't know. I mean, the one that was most interesting to me was the exploded one, which clearly is not really posed in a particularly natural way, but. Yeah, it was by far the most sort of compelling of all of them.
The one that creeped me out the most, the only one that I was like, okay, wow, that's a corpse, was the one that was all split down the middle in like inch and a half segments, where you could see
the features of the
face. His face. Like you could see this, it was just like this, like kind of middle-aged fat dude.
Right.
You could just see his whole face, in like an inch and a half stripe.
Yeah.
Eye, nose, mouth. That was the one that I was like, huh, that is some dude that died. The rest of them, I don't know. It just didn't occur to me that. So the one that they talk about specifically being like weirding people out because it's just being used as a piece of art rather than some sort of anatomical illustration was like a woman who's raising one hand up in the air and like all of the muscles of her back are like propped up to be like wings.
Yeah. It's also strange. Like, the one. They did another one that was kind of unusual, which was the guy on the gymnastics rings or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And
also with rings of skin left on him.
Yeah, so it was like thematically appropriate, but it was like. So that one was like different, but it was like also particularly illustrative of sort of what things look like. You could see this, you could see where the skin was, and then you could see what stuff looked like underneath, and you could see the skin. Like it was just sort of, it was actually really interesting. But with hers, it didn't seem like it illustrated anything other than like, here's something we can do with these corpses, like.
Right.
I don't know.
I mean, do you think that matters?
No, I mean, I don't think fundamentally. I think it's a little jarring, right? Because you're still, there's sort of like the weird psychological thing that at least I was undergoing, which was like, sort of like being mentally aware that these were corpses, but not really registering it, like sort of ignoring that.
Right.
And I feel like that, you're already doing a bit of like, at least I was doing sort of a bit of like sort of existing in two sort of frames of mind at the same time. Because I feel like it's really disturbing if you think about them as people, in a lot of ways.
I mean, I guess I don't really think so. Because I mean, if you're thinking about them as people, you're thinking about them as people who made a conscious decision to sign up for this process.
Sure.
When I initially heard about the whole thing, the whole Body Worlds thing, it was an art project. It was not like... I almost feel like check it out, it's an illustration of anatomy to go in a natural history museum to teach kids about how your asshole works, Like, I feel like that was a nod to the controversy, It was like the only way that he was going to be able to get away with actually pulling this off. I feel like in the beginning I just was thinking of it as corpses that had been made into statues.
Huh.
Basically.
That's interesting.
And it kind of doesn't bother me, because like I sort of feel like society's
reverence
for the dead, like, it's trivial to override that for your own corpse, right? Like, there have been a lot of societies that would have thought that cremation of corpses was just a hideous abomination,
Right.
Just no, how can you do that? How can you burn corpses instead of, scooping out the brains through the nose and mummifying them, or like,
right.
How can you bury these people in a sealed casket instead of throwing them into a canyon behind the cave or behind the cliff dwelling, or like leaving it out in the sun to desiccate or burying it at the foot of a tree, So it's like, I feel like even somebody who was particularly invested in a cultural tradition has to know on some level it's kind of arbitrary, right? Because if you were born in another country in another time, it would be a totally different set of like fundamental core beliefs about what we're supposed to do with dead bodies. And so, you know, to me it's kind of like an individual thing. Like, once they've signed up, I don't think anybody else is allowed to be offended on their behalf by the treatment of their body.
I guess I don't think I was offended. It was just, it's just jarring, you know? It's just like...
But isn't that what art is supposed to do?
Not always. Sometimes.
We watched The Wrestler.
Yes.
That didn't make us feel very good.
Sure, but that doesn't... I mean, are you saying that something that doesn't jar you isn't art?
No.
Okay.
No, but I'm saying that art's purpose is to evoke emotion, right? And, like, art that evokes...
I feel like it's to communicate.
Art that evokes negative emotion is just as art that evokes positive emotion, you know? You know, like... I might like a symphony that gives me a soaring feeling in my chest more than I like a symphony that makes me throw up, but, like, I would feel like a symphony that made me throw up was just as interesting as a piece of art. You know?
A symphony that could make you throw up, wow.
I disagree with what Cannibal Corpse has to say, but I will defend to the death their right to scream it.
Huh.
I wonder what would have happened if Cannibal Corpse had collaborated with Gunther... Hergendorfer or whatever on the Body Worlds thing. If he had actually created exhibits that were based on Cannibal Corpse songs, such as Entrails Ripped from a Virgin's Cunt.
Yeah, I think that probably would have gone over badly.
I thought it was weird that he left the like cocks and labias on every single one of them.
Yeah, that was a little strange.
Like, and even there was like a leg. Here, check it out. This is somebody's leg that we've plastinated to illustrate the musculature of the leg. And we just left his dick on there, just in case.
Yeah. This way you know it's a guy.
You're walking through and you're like, okay, so I know what the insides of this guy's lungs look like, but how big was his dick?
Maybe that's important to future societies. I don't know.
Maybe it was important to the people that signed up. Maybe every single guy that signed up was like, sure, you can do whatever with my body as long as people can see my beautiful statuesque penis.
I remember you and the Pretentious Artist were talking about what if they wanted to mix humans and animal corpses together. You can make like a centaur or something like that. You know, like because they had the first like animal that they had in the particular exhibit was a horse. It was like some sort of filly or whatever. And then you were like, yeah, I can think of some part that they might want to replace with horses.
No, I meant, like, on a horse, if they had a horse with a small penis, they could use my penis
right.
on the sculpture of the horse, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That would definitely be possible.
Yeah. With the magic of plastination.
Exactly.
I liked the ones that were, like, just
the blood
molds of blood. Like entire circulatory systems.
That was some crazy
like
stuff.
Like the big rooster.
Yeah,
a lot of
animals,
veins. A lot of veins in
nuts.
that what do you call that thing? The crown thing on a rooster?
The
comb. A cock's comb. Yeah. Yep.
You've been cuckolded by a cock's comb.
What else? We went to the Stone Brewing Company last night and the night before.
Exactly.
Because the Stone Brewing Company rules.
Oh, yeah. And I gave my birthday present to Jake that I'd been holding out on him for months for.
Yeah. You're either the best or the worst friend that I've ever had. So, I got some jute for my birthday.
That was not my gift.
Pretty excited about that. The Pretentious Artist's wife. I'd been making jokes about jute, so she got me a spool of jute. Now I have jute.
Yep.
You know, and you never know when some jute is going to come in handy.
Something broke inside your laptop, and you're like, I can tie that together with jute!
Right.
And you totally fixed it.
Where's my bag of loot? What else did I... I got a loot. I did not get a loot.
Yeah, it was only gifts that rhymed with jute.
Right. I got an automatic knife sharpener, which is something that I've been wanting for a long time. I sharpened some knives. I sharpened one of the shitty steak knives that came with his apartment and used it to shave part of my arm. I like to shave parts of my arm every once in a while.
Do you?
No.
Okay.
No, I've always tried, because, you know, like, growing up, my dad would sharpen knives, and then he would know that they were sharp enough when he was able to shave hair off of his arm with them. Like, that's just the test for whether a knife is, in fact, razor sharp.
I feel like it would be so obvious on my arms if I did that.
Well, you're like a friggin' ape man and shit.
I'm like some sort of.
I am a more elegant primate for a more civilized age. That stuff. So yeah, sharpen one of those steak knives to the point where it would shave me, and then sharpen the knife on my Leatherman to the point where I'm probably going to lose some fingers the next time I try to open a memory card or something in that plastic bubble packaging. Yeah, so knife sharpener. Got some DVDs. I got the first couple seasons of Weeds and the first couple seasons of the Venture Brothers. I got the Robot Chicken Star Wars episode, and I got a disguise kit, and I got a clock, clock made out of a hard drive.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Yeah, and I'll let Hot Stuff tell you what he did.
Oh yeah, so so Dick is a fan of Adam Carolla and Loveline and that kind of thing. And Adam Carolla, after he left Loveline, had his own radio show in L.A. for a couple years. He took over. I think he took over Howard Stern's slot, basically.
In some markets, like in L.A. and after, Phoenix.
After Howard Stern left to go to satellite radio,
like David Lee Roth, I think took over in some markets.
West Coast,
or East Coast,
in East Coast. Sorry, yeah.
Adam Carolla was on the West Coast.
And so that the station that Adam Carolla was based out of changed formats, and so canceled basically all the talk radio that they had, and. So he started doing other stuff, and among them was a daily podcast that he does every weekday. And so back in April, I did some internet sleuthing and found the guy who books the podcast and arranged to have Jick on there next week, the week after his birthday. So we're driving up to L.A. on Monday.
Yeah.
So
yeah. I get to embarrass myself in front of a celebrity that I admire.
Yeah. Or you get to like hang out and have a good time, and hopefully you'll be drunk enough that it's the drunk
have to do it at noon thing. Which is a little rough in that regard, but I think this one day I can break my typical oath to myself and get good and drunk before noon.
You could stay up the night before and then it would still be
that's true
after six.
Boy, I sure tried to get drunk for the G4 thing, but it didn't work.
Really?
So I need to just drink a lot.
See, I just want you to get, like, sloppy drunk.
But sloppy drunk is awesome.
I don't know.
No. I'm not going to be happy unless I'm so drunk that I think it's a good idea to, like, poop on his couch. Anyway, so I'm freaked right the fuck out. It's not that I don't appreciate the present. It's just, like, you know, I'm getting some Radiohead feelings about whether or not I belong here when I think about, you know. Because I feel like he's going to be, who the fuck are you? And I'm going to be like, I know, right? But
I feel like he's pretty gracious about... he's had a couple of guests on that like were clearly not people that he knew or like
or really cared about what they were doing. Yeah, but, you know.
But he like turned them into like half-hour kind of interesting things. Like they talked about themselves a little bit, and then, you know,
yeah.
Adam Carolla in his usual style went off on stuff for 20
sure.
or 30 minutes.
No, I mean, like, I feel like probably, like... Leo Laporte is as close to the kind of guest that I'm gonna end up being.
There was another guy that had a porn website guy, and then some other internet guy.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of the internet guys are also really like that kind of type A entrepreneur guy who are really like really about self promotion and like just super confident. And that's gonna. Yeah, I don't know.
You know, you'll mention Kingdom of Loathing, which will be good, and you mentioned that we're gonna be at Comic-Con. Right, so those are two things that you can say, and then you know you can.
What if I forget?
He'll ask you about your journey, and you've got an interesting story. You know?
About my journey.
Yeah, like how did you get?
What
here?
If he asks me about being a foreigner?
Dude, I don't know. Maybe you could talk about.
No, I'm sure that in like a 3 or 4 sentence description of like, okay, yeah, I was born in the Midwest. Now I live in Phoenix, which sucks. Yeah. That'll just that. I was born in the Midwest, now I live in Phoenix, that sucks. He can talk about that for 45 minutes. And I'll just sit there, drinking more. Maybe I can pet his dog or something like that.
I mean, you can talk about your dad, you can talk about, you know, how KOL started, you can talk about, you know, I think you could talk about the fact that you feel like you had a very similar background to his, only you chose to be sort of a more nerdy kind of kid, and he chose to be more sort of a jockey kind of kid, but like... You're kind of the same.
Sure. I mean, I was kind of thinking about that, like, just trying to maybe sort of try to figure out, like, why he has such a nerd following, you know, like, why so many people on the internet are willing to put so much, like, time and effort into archiving old episodes of Loveline and stuff, like, you know. You know,
there's a lot of stuff. There's a tremendous number of things that I can think of that the two.
Sure,
talk
it will
about.
Probably be fine. It yeah. will probably be fine. But I seriously, it's like I've just got these like knots in my stomach that now won't go away. I'm really glad that you didn't tell me several months ago because I feel like it's dramatically interfering with my ability to get anything done. Today was kind of okay. Today I got a bunch of writing done on the Choose Your Own Adventure for Comic Con because, you know, we got plenty of time left. But I figured, why not get it done early?
It's like trying to get it printed the day of.
Yeah. They can do that.
Yeah, that's true.
They can do that. It's a little more expensive, but...
You just have to go out back, find some hobos that are willing to work a printing press.
Right. I thought you were going to say you had to hire some hobos to carry the boxes in from the front... the front drive of Comic-Con building.
Yeah. I'm buff enough now that I can just carry
all the boxes. You can just carry all of them. You can carry 4 or 5 50-pound boxes of paper. Yeah, yeah. Probably just juggle them on the way in.
Exactly.
Carry one on each fingertip. We've gone rock climbing a couple times since we were out here.
Yeah, there's a rock gym franchise out near San Diego that's kind of just ghetto.
Yeah,
it's weird.
It is super sketchy. Just, you know, like, the fact that there are, like, screaming kids running around and people just like, oh, swing on the ropes and shit. Like,
and people everybody just climbs in their regular shoes and stuff.
It is amazing to me that nobody is... It is amazing to me not only that they haven't been shut down from people getting killed, but it is amazing to me that nobody got killed in the, like, 3 hours that we've spent in there.
It's true.
You know? We've been taught at the rock gym in Phoenix how to be safe. Or you probably from before that, but...
Yeah.
They're pretty... They will come around and yell at you if you're not doing things exactly right at the rock gym in Phoenix, you know, because they don't want somebody to get killed on their watch. These people are just, like... stoned.
They don't care in the slightest. It's really weird.
I think I climbed a 5'8". I don't know if
you
I made it.
Several 5'8"s, actually.
Did I?
Yeah.
Sweet. Climbing 5'8"s.
You're going to start climbing 5'9"s.
5'9"s. Yeah.
It's going to be great.
I remember back when I was 5'8".
I don't think I have any memories before 6 feet.
Yeah, that's probably true. I don't have any memories of even after you were 6 feet, because I'm a different person than you.
That's true.
So, we solicited questions on...
The Twitter.
Yeah, the Twitter. That's what I meant to say. Sorry, I got distracted mid-sentence by several windows that I have open on my laptop. do we have questions from the Twitter?
We do. Not very many. One of them was just somebody telling us that we had sold out because we had started asking for questions on Twitter.
And that's true. He did phrase it as a question, though.
That's true.
It was Gigan Scudo.
Like, you want me to read the
go ahead. Questions? Go ahead and read the question.
All right. So, guys, this is from GigaShadow555. So, guys, what's it like having totally sold out by answering questions via Twitter?
I just wanted to put something out there for the people who listen to. There's probably not a lot of people who listen to the radio that don't log into the game, but there are probably a lot of people who listen to the podcast that don't log into the game. And so I was thinking, you know, why not?
You could post a week in advance that we're taking. I guess at this point now people can like if we
send
do
in
this
questions
regularly,
and then, yeah, and then when I upload when I upload the thing, yeah,
like we can, you know, people sort of asynchronously ask questions on Radio Bugbear all the time. Like anytime they think of something, if they're pretty aware, they just sort of write a question in. And now they can do the same thing on Twitter.
Yep. So that's cool. Everybody who's a Twitter follower, just send us questions whenever you feel like it. We'll try and answer them. Enter the Wumpus says, having just watched through all of Firefly, I was hoping for your opinion on the series. I'm for it.
Yeah, I'm sad it was canceled, but at the same time, I did not watch a single episode of it while it was on the air. So, I feel like
I have a responsibility not to watch any Joss Whedon stuff while it's on the air.
Why?
Well, because, I don't know.
I don't understand the responsibility part.
Well, because I feel like the best thing that you can hope for in this life is consistency, right? So, basically, if Joss Whedon has another television show, it ought to get canceled early and then be popular in DVD sales.
I guess.
I don't understand how Buffy stayed on the air for so long.
Yeah, I don't either, actually. Like, the first
season
was... I
guess Scully was watching it while it was on.
There were a lot of people who watched it while it was on. Like, it definitely... gathered a following really quick. The first season was just not that good, though. Like, I'm surprised that it lasted into the second season. And then it kind of found its own and had some interesting stuff to do and say and stuff like that. Firefly was amazing, I think, personally, and I'm sad that it was canceled. It's clear that it's just, like, stuff gets canceled because it doesn't get enough ratings instead of being interested in the quality of it.
And now here's Brack to tell us what ratings are.
But I really wish I had been able to. I was in line to ask the cast of Firefly a question at Comic-Con 2 years ago, and I was the guy who got like cut off because I ran out of time. So mm-hmm. I didn't even get a chance to ask my question. But one of my questions was going to be, have you considered maybe instead of working with dipshit radio, networks like Fox, doing something like with HBO or Showtime that clearly will put a show on there and actually give them a budget and some time and like let them actually develop the show.
Who was actually at the panel?
It was Joss Whedon and almost all the cast of Firefly. Mm. All the cast of Serenity, basically.
Hmm.
The guy who plays Shepherd Book was not there, and the guy who plays Wash was not there, but everybody else was.
Hmm. Was the mechanic girl as cute in real life as she is on the show?
Yeah. Marina Baccarin and Jewel State were both really cute.
Jewel State?
That's Kaylee's real name.
Is there a state in the United States that's known as the Jewel State?
I don't know. That's a good question. But yeah, that was another reason that I went up to ask questions, because I got to sit like right in front of the stage and sort of ogle them.
So I was having this discussion a few months ago. Who do you think is the most attractive girl on Firefly?
You're asking
me? You personally.
It's tough, because like Marina Baccarin is like the sexiest, but I feel like I would date Jewel State given the options.
What about on Buffy?
Anya is the most attractive character.
Just physically?
Yeah, but I'd definitely be more interested in Willow.
Yeah, okay. So that is basically exactly how I feel, and I wonder what that says about us.
I don't know.
Although, that said, the prostitute character on Firefly, I find it really hard to think about her without thinking about the sort of horrible girl that she reminds me of that I knew in real life. So that ruins that for me to some extent.
That is a little...
But I see what you mean. I mean, I feel like objectively, probably, if you had like a cross cultural attractivenessometer, it would probably be Anya and the whore. I don't know her name on Firefly.
The character's name?
Yeah,
I forget. I just know the actress's name. Nathan Fillion, by the way, in real life was hilarious, and I do not understand how they got any work done at all on any of these shows, because he was just constantly cracking jokes that were...
Was he cracking wise?
He was cracking wise. He's a funny guy.
Up to Dido's? Horseplay? Was he monkeying around?
Yes.
Let's see. So that's what we think about Firefly.
Yeah.
Rahego says, just realized, how come there's no cool face in the chasm? I don't get it.
I don't either. Actually, I don't know what that's all about.
Kitsune Leo asked, are we ever going to see any more upper-level chef staves a la Deepest Freeze, or perhaps more that don't require pulverize? I honestly kind of like that most of the upper-level chef staves, most chef staves in general, require pulverize. Yeah, because it's... And I wish... And I think that we had basically decided that what we were going to do with crafting stuff from pulverize, the high-end, was we were going to make things... Had this idea, basically, where in clan dungeons, when you smashed stuff, you would get some kind of higher order elemental wad that didn't really do anything but was maliceable into an even higher order elemental wad, which was what would be then used in crafted stuff in the high end, so that it required muscle classes with pulverize and access to the malice in order to do it, and they would be untradeable. So you would have to... It would not just have to be gotten by somebody with pulverize, it would have to be gotten by a seal clubber in order for you to make the thing.
Huh. Or a turtle tamer with a seal.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah, because, yeah, that's an unfortunate...
That's interesting. I don't know that... I feel like we could have done the same kind of thing with cocktail crafting ingredients and the still and cooking ingredients in the wok.
Well, we still could.
Yeah.
Right, I mean, we didn't do... There was not a lot of crafting stuff in Hobopolis, right, as it turned out. We just... I don't know. I feel like we got a little too ambitious with Hobopolis, but it really worked for us. I mean, I feel like it's, there's still people playing it and enjoying it, and that's
kind of awesome, but it's also kind of like, well, fuck, that means, like, anytime we want to do a clan dungeon, if we want it to be popular, if we want it to measure up, we just have to spend months working on it.
Well, I mean, the slime tube is, people are still playing it. They're not. Yeah,
they're just whining about it.
People whined about Hobopolis, didn't they?
No, they didn't. They didn't immediately come back like the day after Hobopolis came out. I was like, why do you insist that robots play your game and not people?
You sure they didn't say it? Why do you insist that robots play your game and not people?
Yeah. there will definitely be some more Chef's Daves someday.
Yeah. We can do that. That can be part of our plan.
There's going to be an underwater one. I think all the bits are
there. It's going to be a straw that you can breathe underwater with from the bottom of the sea.
A really, really long straw.
There's some actual length at which it becomes infeasible to breathe through, because you can't push out enough air to actually get fresh air. Do you know what I mean?
Like with Terry Gross?
Yes. No.
What if you had Terry Gross on top sucking on the straw? Because I'm pretty sure that Terry Gross sucks enough to displace any amount of air. Man, I hate Terry Gross.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
She drives me nuts. In that, like, honestly, that interview with Gene Simmons, did you ever hear that?
No.
The recording of Terry Gross and Gene Simmons. So, Gene Simmons came across like just a colossal asshole, but I would still rather hang out with him than Terry Gross, based on the way that... Because she just couldn't handle it. She just started... You know who every interviewer ought to be like? There was that video of, like, Billy Bob Thornton and his band being interviewed by some radio DJ. Uh-huh. Billy Bob Thornton was just being this complete prick. But the guy doing the interviewing, just calm and collected, and was totally okay. Didn't lose it, did not say a single insulting thing.
Huh.
Terry Gross just, she didn't, like, lose it and start screaming. She didn't, like, you know, leap across the table and smack him. She was just like, you know, you're really obnoxious. That's one of her interview questions. Did you know that you're really obnoxious? Well, that's the kind of hard-hitting journalism that NPR should really be proud of. Did you know that you're really obnoxious?
That's interesting.
Yeah, and fuck her. She's terrible at her job. You know, I'm not saying that anybody deserves to have Gene Simmons inflicted on them, but, like, that's just not cool. I made her look worse than him. Maybe I just say that because I'm a huge misogynist. Gene Simmons rules. He totally fucked, like, 40,000 women. I don't know if he did or not. I wonder if Gene Simmons and Wilt Chamberlain had, like, a woman fucking contest, who would win?
Weren't we talking about Attila the Hun? Was it Attila the Hun or Genghis Khan?
I don't remember.
There was a theory that one of them is the most prolific people in the world in terms of progeny.
Right.
Because they had done some sort of genetic study and they were, like, just a tremendous number of Asian people who had a rare mutation on the Y chromosome, Asian men.
That caused them to have a sideways vagina?
No, Asian men who, because you can only track that kind of thing through the male line. Because of the X and the Y. Because you're always guaranteed to get your Y chromosome from your dad, whereas your X could be either parent.
Right.
Or one of your X's.
I think it's the other way around, isn't it?
Your X's, no, girls are XX.
Oh.
Right, so...
Oh, the ones I hang out with are XXX.
Yeah.
L. Dad, yo. Matt Wolf says, any thoughts about making the wheel in the castle an item drop instead of a choice adventure? It would be much less annoying, but it would be an entirely different mechanic and also not make any sense.
I guess it is an object, right? But it's
like,
also,
yeah, you could pick
the
it up
size
and
of your
you could pick it up and put it back.
House.
It's huge, yeah. It's way bigger than you. You can't carry it. Yo-Yo God says, are any of you planning to get Here Comes Science in September, or do you only listen to They Might Be Giants adult albums? Well, I don't know.
Do they have other children's albums?
Yeah, the what was it called? No. It was a children's album.
Was it?
And, like, the Here Come the ABCs and stuff. I don't know. Like, I've kind of given up.
That's sad.
Well, I mean, they just haven't released anything. They have not released a They Might Be Giants album since John Henry, basically. Like,
huh.
Scully says The Spine Surfs Alone, or The Spine, I guess. The Spine Surfs Alone was a single.
Huh.
Scully says the spine was good, but like I don't know. You know, I just got tired of like
it's okay for a band to sort of like change directions and you not to be into them anymore.
Yeah, I know.
You know,
I know. You know, I don't want anybody to like assassinate them.
Right.
I feel like if John Lennon was still alive, he'd probably be making music that nobody cared about.
Yeah, it's probable.
Nico says, why isn't the C listed in the go-to menu when you're in compact mode? The Naughty Sorceress's lair is after you unlock it, so why not the C? I never put the C in the menu at all.
You put it on the menu. Yeah, it's after you return the boot.
Oh, really?
It'll show. This shows up in the regular menu pane, and I don't know if it's in the...
Oh, if it's in the regular menu and not in compact menu, that ought to be fixed.
But people are a little confused as to when it shows up at all, because once you've done the boot quest once, you're not necessarily going to do it again.
Don't do it again, yeah. I didn't do a very good job.
We did not, from a design standpoint, we did not spend any time thinking about the sort of unlockability of the undersea zone.
It's there in...
Undersea zones...
It's there in compact mode.
Is it? So it's just a question of the boot.
Yep.
Which, understandably, is perhaps not ideal and something that we should probably address at some point.
Yeah. Well, you know, work is somewhat underway on the kind of putting the seabed to bed.
Yeah.
Putting it to itself, as it were. Six new zones.
Plus some awesome.
Yeah. Kind of want to get that done so that we can work on the thing that it leads to, because that's... although, you know, I say that that's going to be really fun, and then it's gonna come up and be on the front burner, and I'm going to be like, fuck, I don't want to work on this. Fuck. That's what I do. I just stumble around the office saying, fuck, I don't want to work. Fuck. Yeah. People say I work a lot, but that's all I'm doing almost all the time.
It's great. It's good to watch.
Yeah. The Wrestler, really good. Recommend it. Don't watch it on your birthday.
Sorry.
If you're already kind of feeling old, don't... yeah.
I had never seen it before, so I had no idea.
No, I'm not saying.
It was my Netflix film.
Did you send it back?
I did. They're sending...
What's next? What are we going to watch next?
Valkyrie.
Valkyrie.
Yeah, it's the Tom Cruise World War II.
Does he need food badly?
Plot against Hitler thing.
Right. I saw the preview for that and really had no interest in watching it.
I don't know.
That's all the.
The intrigue seems interesting.
It's all the Twitter questions.
No, there's a ton more.
What?
There's a ton more.
What are you talking about? There's new ones?
Yeah.
I did not see them.
Someone asks, "What the fuck is that incessant beeping noise?"
Is there an incessant beeping noise?
Dude, I don't know. Vernon asked that.
A Jester Only says, would you rather go after beers with Terry Gross or Nancy Pelosi, and why?
Huh.
I don't know, man.
Nancy Pelosi doesn't really interest me at all. She's got, like, some political power, but eh. Eh.
Casey Wiederman says, hey, Jake and Hot Stuff, can you picture a Metroplexity-esque PvP system in KOL which clones characters for battle? That would be neat. I like it.
It's interesting.
It's a little weird, though. It's narratively weird, but at the same time, like, combat in Metroplexity is a little narratively weird, right? Because you find a stick of dynamite, and that unlocks the ability for your character to throw a stick of dynamite in every fight from then on out, right? Because it's like a kind of a card-based system, and so
it doesn't consume it?
It does not. It consumes it to give you the card, right? But then the card is just in your deck.
So do you assemble your deck from... Do you assemble your working deck from a sort of overall deck?
Yes. You should just play it.
I know.
Just spend a few days.
I know. I'm just bad at...
Mr. Mag likes it. That means it's good.
Playing games that are open-ended.
Is there an incessant beeping noise? Are we getting GSM interference?
Oh, it's possible. I guess I am actually using my phone as the... what I'm reading the questions from, so it's possible. I can hold it further away.
Yep. Getting some GSM interference.
Now, still?
Yeah, just then.
That sucks.
Yeah. I don't hear it because I don't like listening to myself in these cans. They're not really cans.
It also sucks that I'm not connected to the wireless network, even though the router is like 10 feet away.
It's because I'm around it.
That's possible.
It is because it is a wireless network and because I break wireless networks just by being aware of them. So don't tell me about your wireless networks, people. They'll quit working. The three says, a familiar idea, Tiny TGI Fridays employee. Its abilities could be customized by equipping it with various pieces of flair. It would basically be the familiar equivalent of the cardboard weapons. Game breaking? Well, it would require one, it would require a sort of a totally new mechanic, right, for having more than one piece of equipment on a familiar. It's kind of funny. It could be like a... I kind of wish that, like, the charm bracelet... I wish that we had done something with the charm bracelet that allowed you to stack up some little minor enchantments on it instead of those just being a bunch of recipes the way that they are. Because I think that would be neat. But just not... it's not in the cards for KOL, you know? Just not in the cards. Pieces of equipment that could equip other pieces of equipment, and then those pieces of equipment could equip other pieces of equipment, and then those pieces of equipment could have various shrimp dishes that you put on them.
Like some sort of kebab sticks?
Like a shrimp cocktail, or shrimp scampi, popcorn shrimp, shrimp salad, a shrimp Louis salad, a shrimp chef salad.
Shrimp gumbo. Shrimp sandwiches.
Shrimp tuna salad. okay, so then that wraps up the Twitter questions.
Okay.
What came in? Radio Bugbear. Right. I remember Black Belt Duck wishing me and Ted Pro a happy birthday. Happy birthday, Ted Pro! Is Ted Pro older than me?
I would assume.
But he's going to be mad if he's not, and you assumed that he was. Shifty Steve says, would it be possible to have a set of tattoos for clans, separate from the main tattoos, obviously, but still, would it be possible slash wanted? I don't know that it really makes any sense to do it as tattoos. We've talked about the whole clan crest thing.
Yeah. Which I think is definitely feasible.
Yeah. Especially with C.D. Moyer's GD wizardry. And I'm not saying, like, he's got some goddamn wizardry. I'm saying he's a wizard with the use of the PHP GD library, which stands for graphics... doohickey. What does the D stand for in GD?
G is what? Graphics?
I'm assuming. I don't know.
Defenestration?
Yeah. Throwing pictures at the window?
Yeah.
Every once in a while, whenever I'm in a building, I think about that Cake song about the guy throwing his guitar out the window.
Huh. Do you ever think about the defenestration of Prague?
No.
I wonder how they got the entire country out the window.
Life was good. Life was great. Shaggy, all right. Shaggy asked if we'd ever do the program at a time when the UK players could enjoy and listen to the show without getting up late and getting sacked. That's funny. Because I usually get sacked when I go to sleep early. Like, I pass out on the couch at a party, and then somebody takes a picture of me getting sacked.
Different kind of sacked.
Well, okay. Whoa, and then Mega Man Rocks wrote in after that, moist sack, not slimy. Okay, that's weird. No, he says, the slimy larva, how much longer are we going to have to wait? I'm dying over here, I can't wait to play with my slimy sack. Yeah, I did some work on that today. I'm waiting for some code support and some balance feedback.
Yeah, what you proposed seemed a little too powerful.
Oh, yeah? Well, then propose something less powerful.
All right.
We can compromise and do it my way, and you can shut up. That'll be a compromise. Zona says, can we get a way to choose which titles to cycle out? Because I don't like all of mine, but I want it random.
See, that was the inch mile that you were definitely afraid of.
Yep. Shanty says, what about Ed Staff Chef's Dave? How's it getting along? It's definitely something I'm going to do one of these days. Tuesday got skipped this week because on account of my birthday, because I just didn't do any work.
Yeah, somebody said... The picture of you as Jesus was a nice Tuesday update.
It was. Because everybody can get saved.
Yeah. Which is pretty funny.
Jesus saves, passes to Gretzky. Gretzky shoots, he scores.
Yeah.
Greg Mesta says, how about a slash auto command to quickly change auto attack from chat? This would save having to go to the account page. Poof! I've gone back in time and had C.D. Moyer add that feature just for you, Greg Mesta.
It's what? Slash AA.
Is it? I think it's slash auto attack or slash AA. Slash AA. Yeah. You can do slash auto attack off. You can do slash auto attack. Fire a red crossbow or red bottle rocket. You can do all kinds of crazy shit. Yep. All kinds of crazy shit with that chat command.
Is it, I mean, is it, so here's a question then. Is the documentation there and just unread, or is it?
It is there and unfindable.
Yeah. How do you get to the chat command documentation? Do you have to, like?
Well, you go to the documentation. Let me try it. This will be like one of those things where
there is a chat pane. There's a whole section of chat pane stuff.
This will be one of these things where the CEO of a company goes to the website and tries to find the phone number front of everybody.
Yeah.
To prove that the phone number is a must. I went to the documentation. I want to know about chat commands, and I'm a guy who doesn't know anything about anything. Well, let's see. Documentation is available on the following topics. The main screen, chat pane. Ooh, chat pane. That's where chat commands go. Documentation is also available on the various chat commands. I click on chat commands. In addition to the basic chat commands, there are chat commands for sending private messages, chat channels, creating chat macros. There are some advanced chat commands. And in advanced chat commands, there's slash auto attack.
Huh.
So I feel like that is not particularly
insurmountable.
Unintuitive.
Yeah.
But
you also don't necessarily think, I would like this feature to exist, and then think, does this feature already exist, perhaps? You just think, I would like it to exist without actually knowing, you know?
Right. Well, also typing slash question mark in chat. Sends you to the chat commands documentation. And when you enter chat,
at least the policies, at least.
When you enter chat, it says type slash question mark for help with chat pane commands. Uh-huh. So, basically, I think we've done all we can.
We could collect addresses when you create an account and then send you a postcard every day.
With a
tooltip.
Well, we could send you a postcard every day with the entire documentation printed out from TextPad in the
in
native
super, like 3 or 4 point
1 point font that it. Yeah.
Yeah. We could do that.
Mega Man Rock says, can you please change the handsomeness potion so that I don't have to get a sex change to maximize the effects? I kind of like being a guy. Well, I bet you kind of like being a seal clubber.
Seal clubber is also optimal for lost level.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Why?
Grulched.
Oh, because they're the only ones that can get grulched? You can pull it.
Maybe. It's not tradable, for sure. So you have to have at least been a seal clubber.
I think that Fustulent Seal Grulch is my favorite item. Because Fustulent isn't a word, and neither is Grulch.
If only seals were real.
Let's see. I'm trying to fix this thing.
Your keyboard?
Yeah, I'm trying to fix my keyboard.
Is that why we hear what sounds like typing, but it isn't really typing? It's repairs.
Well, that's how I fix my keyboard, by typing on it. RDFM said, hey guys, the used text of Hodgman's Journal number 1 reads that are just huge list names, little drawings of shoes. Lists of names, maybe? Yes. Funny I should notice that and get Natural Born Scrabbler while actually watching an Oliver Stone movie. Not haha funny, more like Oliver Stone funny, I guess.
Has Oliver Stone ever directed a comedy?
I don't know.
W was kind of funny, but I don't think it was trying to be funny.
Every time I saw Oliver Stone interviewed, he seemed kind of crazy.
I wonder if he was trying to raise awareness of, like, a real sort of fear that, like, JFK was actually killed by the government when he made JFK.
I never saw JFK.
It's a good movie. It's long. But it's, you know, there's a lot of evidence that would point towards that.
Yeah. Yaruk says, any chance of making Dr. Hobo, Dolphin King, and Hades maps into a choice adventure? These non-required quest items are kind of a forced waste of a turn in inventory space. I think for every person who doesn't want those things in their inventory, there's a person that likes them. I mean, they go away when you finish them.
Yeah, I mean, the turn argument.
Sure, but I mean, if you care about the inventory space, then, you know.
The inventory space? I mean, the inventory space is infinite, so it's just
the clutter. I mean, yeah, I don't know.
You could if you finish them, they go away. So that's an easy solution, and they don't take any turns to finish.
That's true. Oh yeah, no, the force waste of a turn. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, it's getting them waste a turn, not waste turn, but it uses.
Oh, I see. Okay, so he's saying choice adventures where you take the map or not,
right?
As opposed to putting that content into choice adventures rather than something that was triggered by the item. Okay. Hell, I don't know. Gold S says, why would the Slimeling need to see better? Why does anything need to see better? So many people suggest, like, pooping or puking as a game mechanic.
Oh, really?
I don't know why that is.
To, like, lower your fullness? Yeah. There was the drunk tank for a long time. That sobered you up a little bit?
Yeah.
Didn't it sober you up by, like, vomiting everywhere?
No. It sobered you up by waiting. At some point, you vomited and got some meat.
Right.
I guess you'd swallowed some coins.
That's gross, man.
Dr. Kier says, how exactly does the female-to-male sleazy back alley thing work? Do they just glue in a double ender, or is there, like, a box of frozen hobo wangs that they can sew on? It's magic.
Wait. Female-to-male things, they don't... It's not like they add on a prosthetic. They invert the vagina.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Seriously. Gross. Inverted. Because the whole point is to have some sensation down there.
They just make you cough really hard, but there are no nerve endings inside the vagina.
Okay.
I could see if they, like, inflated the clitoris to the size and shape of a penis. That would work.
Yeah, actually, I have no idea what they do.
I know.
Female to male.
I know. Clearly.
I'm making this
clearly,
up, you know.
I think they take part of your arm and make a penis out of it. I'm serious.
Is it as big as a baby's arm?
If you're a baby, when you get the operation, it is exactly as big as a baby's arm. And it's shaped like one, too. Let's see. Butsuri says, regarding NetHack, A, your pet is not actually that important, particularly not keeping your first one. B, getting your pet next to you is not that difficult. Just hit period a few times. Fuck that.
Well, but
what I'm saying.
But doesn't that also, you know, waste turns of...
Hunger,
yeah.
C, eventually you should be able to find a magic whistle and you'll be able to summon your pet next to you, so I guess just wait until you found one of those before having a pet. Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, eventually you tame something else. Apparently you can start NetHack with an option that just doesn't start you with a pet. So.
Oh.
But everything that I've ever heard from serious players is that, like, you need the pet, right? Because your pet, like, can determine the bless-curse status of stuff, because the pet will refuse to... This is another thing I hate. The idea of putting something on the ground and then just waiting for my pet to wander around long enough for me to believe that it isn't just chance that he didn't step on the thing.
Right.
Right? That's just bullshit. That's not fun. And it's the kind of thing where, like, optimal play just means taking a game and, like, sort of bending it in half and shitting on it until it isn't fun anymore.
Optimal play for most games is not fun, I guess, right? Because there's always going to be some way to play a game that is better than other ways of playing the game in terms of competitiveness that is just sort of not sort of in the original spirit of how the game is meant to be played, right?
Yeah.
But for people who are playing it that way, it is fun for them, right? That's the argument that you have to...
That's the thing. I don't think it is. Because they just complain.
Their fun structure, they're looking for a long-term gain, right? Like, they want to have a better chance of having a long-term success than they are willing, and they're willing to have sort of less fun in the short term, maybe. You know? That's my theory.
Beowulf says, why did Alanis have to hail Dexie Gibb? Who's Dexie Gibb?
I don't know.
Her name sounds like a taxi cab. Shanty says, they might be giants at 5x speed is scary as shit. Noah M. says, Jolt Cola is apparently the closest thing to Surge that still exists today. I don't believe that, because Surge was like a Mountain Dew knockoff.
So Surge still exists, right?
I don't know. Maybe Vault is like Surge, is what Riff says.
I'm confused. I thought Surge was a beverage that I heard about for the first time like 5 or 10 years ago. I guess 10 years ago. But this is the one you're saying that was invented in the World War II or something?
I'm not saying anything. I don't know what you're talking about.
Weren't you saying that there was a soda that was invented super early specifically for...
Not Surge. Surge was in 1996.
Okay.
To compete with Mountain Dew.
Alright. So then I don't know what I'm thinking about. I thought you were talking about something...
Some soda that was invented in World War II?
I thought so.
I don't think that was me, dude.
Weird. Did I just have a dream where you said something like that and then we had a question about it? That's
soda that was invented in...
That is messed up.
Istanbul says, the reed knows what the storm does not, that the power to endure harm outlasts the power to inflict it. You know, you say that, but, like, erosion is a significant harm infliction vector.
And it will eventually just wear everything else down.
Yep.
Depends on what you mean by harm.
And outlast. And is. Shanny says, do you guys play any other turn-based MMORPGs? Twilight Heroes, Soul Raver, etc.? I still check in Twilight Heroes every once in a while to see what updates have happened, and 12 Sands, although I don't think he's working on 12 Sands anymore. It's been like 3 months since there was an update. Huh. And Metroplexity, I've stopped playing every day, but I'll go on like once a week and play all my turns. See what's new. Read the wiki. It's interesting that there is such a comprehensive wiki for Metroplexity.
Is it, and it's all player created?
Yeah.
Huh.
Actually, most of it is Mr. Magnifico created.
That's awesome.
That isn't entirely true. Like Voles and some other people do a lot of editing.
Huh.
Goldess says, also, there are a bunch of things in the Meatpacing Discoveries page in odd categories. The Clubs of Corruption in weapons:clubs. The Office Supply Crossbow in weapons:crossbows. The Grass Whistle in weapons:miscellaneous. Shouldn't they just all be in the gear category? Oh, I don't know, man.
I mean, are they the only ones in those categories, or...?
I would have thought that...
Those seem totally reasonable.
Oh, they're meat pasting. That's the problem. They're pasted, and I was using categories from smithing.
Oh.
Because they're not differentiated in the drop-down. That is what happened there. So, yeah, they probably should.
Oh, I see.
They probably should all be in gear. That is a... Right, because I wanted the Club of Corruption to be pasted instead of smithed.
Okay. I can fix that when I go back to my computer.
Okay. Let's take our un breco de musica.
Okay, I'll do that. I'll fix those right now.
Kids with food.
Smell her on you indeed. In The Wrestler, Mickey Rourke talks about how music was great until that pussy Cobain came along and ruined it all. I liked the 90s. In fact, I might go on VH1's I Love the 90s and talk about how much I love the 90s. Those were my glory days, man. They totally weren't. I would not trade my life now for the life I had in the 90s.
90s was high school, college, and just post-college.
For me, it was high school, fucking around for a long time, and then not starting college.
You got, like, a job, though, right?
Yeah, jobs. I always had a job.
Even
it's
in
like
college?
The keys. No, not in college. I did not have a job. I went to college for 1 year in the 90s. Other than that, I went to community college, and I had jobs while I was in community college. I learned some things in community college. I gotta not tell Adam Carolla that I ever went to community college, though. He'll start yelling at me.
The question is, did you read nothing but Twilight while you were in community college?
No. I was not fat, nor was I a girl. I don't know why everybody's so down on me about my assessment of Twilight as something that is read exclusively by fat girls in community college. High school girls also read it. My mom was talking about maybe not fat high school girls. You know, you really, as a girl in high school, you haven't gotten time to get particularly fat. The girls who are super fat in high school is probably genetic. Once you get to community college, it's just being lazy.
Huh.
Too lazy to not eat cake. Why are you eating so much cake?
I want to be an opera singer. That was funny.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was kind of funny, but yeah, no, but seriously, like, you don't eat, like, I've never seen you eat. So, like, the Pretentious Artist made this 4th of July cake. It's kind of awesome. You Twittered about it, didn't you?
Yeah. No, I didn't post a picture.
You didn't post it on Twitter?
Or maybe I did, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't remember. Anyway, she made this cool flag cake that was cool, and Hot Stuff just keeps eating cake. She gave us leftover cake, and Hot Stuff's like, oh,
it's
nom 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 cake.
Like a week to eat, like,
it has been 4 days since July 4th.
It's like a week.
I guess it's like a week in that a dude who is 3 feet tall is like a basketball player.
It is the 9th. That is 5 days. That's a work week.
It was nighttime on the 4th.
Okay. 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th.
Anyway, why are you eating so much damn cake, fatty?
Yeah.
How much weight have you lost?
Since when?
Since birth. Negative 160 pounds.
I was up to about 190-ish. 195, I think, at the absolute heaviest, and now I'm down to like 165. 160.
So 160. You've lost 30, 35 pounds.
Yeah. In like, I don't know, sometime over the past year.
How do you feel about being crazy?
I feel pretty good about it.
Yeah. How do you feel about being one of those fitness nut jobs?
I wouldn't say I'm a nut job.
Yeah, I would say you're a nut job.
I went to the gym today, I guess.
I know. You friggin' nut job. You're addicted to exercise. Do you get an endorphin rush?
You like going rock climbing. I think you see what I get out of it. Like, it's both sort of physically challenging and, like, a puzzle to solve.
It's physically challenging, like Double Dare.
But it's like a puzzle to solve, right? And that's just kind of perfect, right? It's a physical activity that I enjoy doing that is also a puzzle.
I have not gotten to the part where it's like a puzzle to solve, because I always sort of understand, like, what I would do if my arms were twice as strong as they are.
You're getting there, though. It's not too long before you get to points where you'd be like, okay, how do I do this? I should totally be able to do this, but it's like some sort of puzzle.
I guess that was a problem on the one route that the Pretentious Artist and I both got stuck on, because there was one thing that we didn't realize was on the route.
Yeah. I saw you trying a bunch of stuff, which was cool. Like, you were trying to use the edge. And
that wasn't cool.
It was cool. It was cool to watch.
No, it wasn't. I was trying to climb that while you were over there trying to boulder, because that cute girl was bouldering. You're like, look at me, I can boulder too. Can your boyfriend do this?
Oh, God.
Yeah, you totally were.
The worst relationship advice ever.
That was the best relationship advice ever. If you like a girl and she has a boyfriend, here's what you do. You get into a conversation with her where she tells you that she has a boyfriend, and then you say, but can your boyfriend do this? And wave your dick in her face.
Yeah.
Because he can. Probably. unless there's something wrong with him. Maybe her boyfriend's quadriplegic. And she was like, I never realized that there were dudes that could move their penises. I'm going to date you instead. Pretty sure that's what'll happen. I can't count the number of times I've met girls that were dating quadriplegics. Wait, yes I can. Because I learned to count to zero.
Because you're...
Back when I was in Arabia.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
It's like 1,500 years ago, right? How long has zero existed?
In Arab culture, it was... Wasn't discovered in years zero.
That's pretty funny. They kept trying to figure out, where do we start the calendar? That doesn't make any sense. We want the number to reflect the number of years that have passed. No, seriously, though.
I don't know. I'll look it up.
Wikipedia? Do you think Wikipedia has an article about zero?
Yes, I do.
Do you think it has an article about less than zero?
I think they probably have a disambiguation page about zero, I guess.
Zero may also be called O, null, nil, or not. Yeah. History. Second millennium BCE. What is this BCE bullshit?
Before Common Era.
But is that just something they started saying so that there wouldn't be a religious connotation to dates?
Yes, it is.
Because that seems kind of like bullshit, right? Cause
yes. Well, but they're also, I mean, at this point, they're also saying that Jesus was born in like 3 or 4 BCE. So, yeah. So the whole attempt to have a calendar based around his birth kind of failed. Because as a historical figure, they think he was born earlier.
Did you get all those meat pasting things recategorized?
Yeah, there were also a couple other ones that were screwed up. And then there was a... Not exactly a typo. There was a capitalization inconsistency with some thousands of recipes.
Oh.
Yeah. So I fixed all those.
Well, that sucks.
Yeah. It was
I wondered what took you so long. Gleebs writes, the official 2009 KOL calendar has a little Dependence Day firework next to Bastille Day on July 14th. Will there be another D-Day then?
That's just the regular...
Yeah, it's the regular
Day.
KOL calendar Dependence Day. So, yeah, it'll be Dependence Day. I don't know if we're going to do anything special or not.
I've been pushing in behind the scenes for some sort of...
Discretionary, but...
Something cool, but, yeah, whatever.
Goldest says, aerated diving helmet should probably be put in gear, too.
Done.
All right.
That was one of the other ones that I did.
Gleeb says, also an idea to make people like Dependence Day more. Let them set off one firework for each level they are. And no, it's not overpowered.
I don't know.
Not sure about that.
People who got to do 20 of them were pretty psyched when it was broken on every holiday day.
People who got to do 20 of them were also would not have been ascending if you got to do one per level, right?
Well, right, but you know, 10 would be pretty strong too, you know.
Yep.
That's all I'm saying.
Tech Smurf says, speaking of quest item clutter, why does Hugo's Weaving Manual even exist? It was a joke.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that's just because it's funny. Because
you can use the fronds, you can multi-use the fronds, right? Or do you have to use the weaving manual to multi-use the fronds?
I thought that you could multi-use them, but they wouldn't do anything unless you had read the manual.
I don't think so, because you... Let me see. Palm front. Yeah, you can use multiple and...
There's nothing that checks.
No.
It's still pretty funny. Beowulf asks
axes.
About them utes. Okay, real question to Jick. Did you actually learn anything useful from the game design course? It's not over yet. It's a 10-week course, and this is week 2. So
yeah. I finally wrote up my game. I did my homework a day late, and it was a dollar short.
Well, it was like
81 cents.
81 cents short.
My prototype involves 19 pennies. I don't know. We played it and it was kind of fun.
Yeah. I mean, there were definitely some strategies that were beginning to emerge just after a couple of games, which was kind of neat.
It was about the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand.
I mean, I'm learning to think about game design from a more formal point of view as opposed to just the ad hoc stuff that we've just done, you know, like... I've never had a formal game design class ever before, so that's kind of interesting.
It's interesting seeing how bad the designs are, that like just how very obviously broken a lot of the designs that people come up with are.
Yeah, that's what I didn't understand. Like, I'm wondering if it's just lack of effort put into it, or if people really just do come up with game ideas and don't think about how they would work.
I noticed several people posting and saying, I didn't have time to playtest this, which I feel like I just wouldn't.
I mean, I posted something without playtesting it, but I also thought about it for a long time.
Oh, sure, and for you, thinking about something is the same as doing it for a regular person, because you're so good at thinking. Damn Ivy League assholes.
We're not in the Ivy League.
Okay, fine. You took some classes at Harvard.
That's true. I did.
Did you teach some classes at Harvard?
No, I taught classes at MIT.
You taught classes at MIT. Yeah. Why did I think you taught classes at Harvard?
I don't know. Because I taught philosophy classes at MIT.
And that's like being at Harvard?
I don't know.
Lockasage says, is the Kreamborg Collective ever coming back? Hell, I don't know. Scully has a dead grand plan. He's got the next 40 Krimbos. He's got the story arc planned out for the next 40 Krimbos.
40.
A deadhead says, awesome music during awesome song during the music break, Scully. Scully 2 is going to grow up gay unless somebody takes him away from Scully. Glebe says, I'd hope that instead of writing five times as many episodes of Family Guy, they'd write actual 22-minute episodes and stop with all the filler in every show. I think that the filler is the best part.
I thought the filler was the show, yeah. Like, I mean, those little vignettes are kind of the funniest things a lot of the time.
White Teeth says, you guys ever played Flux? Is there a way of getting a clan version of that game running? I fucking hate Flux.
Really?
Yeah. It's seriously, man. That's some Mario Party bullshit right there.
It's not that bad.
Okay, so basically, the strategy
yeah.
in a game of Flux
yeah.
is in looking at the cards you have in your hand and seeing if you can figure out a way to win in a single turn by playing all of those cards.
Uh-huh.
Right? It is irrespective of the state of the game.
It isn't, though.
But it is. You cannot predict anything because the state of the game changes so dramatically from turn to turn.
But if you know what all the cards are, you know what possible kinds of states things can be. I mean, I'm not saying that there's a lot of strategy.
But
what was that game that we played that had the machines, like the gnomish machine type things?
I don't remember what it was called. It
was
something
that
they were
similar, and that was cool.
But it wasn't really similar. I mean, it was.
And you were doing stuff and making machines that,
but you weren't changing the rules. You weren't constantly changing the hand size. You weren't, you know. And it's like half the time, even when you know, all right, I've got in my hands a set of cards that I can use to win the game. Like somebody will fuck around and change the rules about hand size, and then you have to discard some of them. And so you're no. I guess it like Flux. I don't remember ever making any decisions while playing Flux,
huh.
Right? And I feel like. It is a game where you're basically just letting shit happen, and it's random. Because, and even if you are making decisions, the extent to which it is going to impact you in the future is so negligible because there are so many steps in between your turn and your next turn, during which everything is going to get turned upside down. Like I just did not find it fun at all, and I honestly kind of believe that it is a bad game, objectively. Huh.
That's weird, because I mean, I have played it several times and not hated it. You know, I'm not really thought about it critically.
See, like, I don't like apples to apples, but I wouldn't say that it's a bad game.
Apples to apples just depends on who you're playing with,
right?
Entirely, like the game itself is whatever, because it's sort of like Balderdash. Like, you know, you can play that in a group of people, and it can be really fun and funny. Or it can be just really dry and boring.
I don't think that I ever played Balderdash. Is that the one where you have to make up definitions?
Yeah, you're given a word and you make up definitions and then you vote on who's got the best definition, right?
And like one person has the real definition or...
Yeah, I mean, I never actually played like the board game version. We just brought a dictionary with us to like a coffee house and would pull words out of the dictionary and then everybody would write a definition for it.
Huh.
And it was a lot of fun.
You know? I mean, that would definitely only be fun with people who were, like, literate, you know, people who yeah. were capable of crafting a sentence.
That sounded like a definition, and some, you know, sometimes people would but that's the thing, like, people would write ones that were funny, and they would get more votes. And that's what makes the game good, right? Like, you reward people that do funny stuff, and it's just funny, right?
Which I feel like is theoretically what happens with apples to apples, right? But like, yeah, but the other problem is I have only ever played apples to apples with like 10 people, and
yeah,
I feel like that's too many people.
6 people's good though. You want enough people that there's enough stuff going on. You also, nobody seems around that I've played with around here plays with the real rule, which is like the last person to get the card in doesn't get to get the card in. Like you play it really fast. It's supposed to be a very fast game, and it takes forever with everybody that I've played around here.
Huh.
It's like it's supposed to go like really quickly. Because
that's an interesting rule for making the game go faster.
Yeah, because you have to get. If you want to have a chance,
because it just turns into kind of a race, right? Like, so well, there is some significant time pressure on you to be able to earn points at all. Yeah. Kilten says that Eve scam was worth about $120,000, not $5,000. That was not what I read. I feel like by some theoretical measure, if you could with absolute efficiency at the given, you know, nominal rate for Eve currency being converted to dollars, then maybe, sure, there was enough currency that you could get $120,000 for it under perfectly ideal.
What happened? I didn't hear what this was.
Somebody ran a player bank and just stole all the money. As far as I know,
you know. Was this one that happened like a couple of years ago? Or?
No, it happened like a week or two ago.
Oh wow!
I feel like and the guy was just like, yeah, I had a mortgage payment due that I couldn't make, so I stole all this money and sold it on eBay or whatever.
Huh.
But you know, that's what happens. Like, you know, I get nervous when I see people doing stuff like that in KOL, because I'm like, you know.
But we have very specifically said that is all at Players on Risk.
Yeah,
you know.
Right, but still,
there'll be a huge outcry if it.
Yeah, like one, you know, say, let's say somebody's running a bank in KOL and they're doing investment for people or whatever, and you know, that's the thing. Like, I feel like we have covered our ass in terms of like, look, we're not going to. You gave a stranger your money.
Right.
And they have no credentials at all, apart from a reputation in the community.
We disabled somebody's account for like multi-abuse a week or two ago, and they had a bunch of other people's money, or meat, you know, and like...
Tough titty.
Kind of. I mean, like...
The kitty, we're...
We'll maybe try to make it right to some extent, but it's not...
But it kind of depends on whether we feel just personally that it's like a sad enough story to intervene and break our own rules, right? But it's like, it just kind of sucks. Like, the idea of people doing that makes me super nervous, because it basically creates a situation where I cannot do my job without pissing people off, even though I've been very upfront about what my job was the entire time, right? Like, it bugs me. And I don't, you know, I don't want people to not trust each other, right? Like, I don't want a culture of fear, but at the same time, just, I do, because that is the opposite. That is on the opposite end of the spectrum.
Right, since there are only two emotions.
You know, I'm really going to need you to stop talking about that, or I'll have to ask you to forcibly insert the exercise cards into your anus.
Where on that axis is drunk?
I don't know. That was one of my finer moments. Because there aren't a lot of times when you look back and you're like, I said the exact right thing in that situation.
Are you going to relate the story?
I probably have already. A girl once asked me if I was capable of feeling any emotions at all, and I replied without hesitation, is drunk an emotion? And I was pretty proud of myself. I couldn't, like, laugh then, because, you know, it was like a serious kind of sad conversation for her, I guess. Like, I don't know. I didn't feel any emotions at all. Because I'm just an unfeeling robot. Hot stuff. That's my problem. I have no emotions. Sometimes I'm angry. I have anger, fear, and drunk. Those are the emotions that I'm capable of feeling. And embarrassment. But embarrassment is kind of like retroactive fear. And drunk is kind of like retroactive anger.
Retroactive?
Hmm?
Are you using retroactive correctly there?
I feel like embarrassment is like post-fear. Yeah, it's like...
You're embarrassed after the fact?
Well, yeah. I mean, you don't get embarrassed...
I guess you don't get embarrassed beforehand, but I feel like you get embarrassed in the moment. I tend to just forget embarrassment after it happens.
But I mean, there is no moment, right? Like, you know, like George Carlin said, there is no present. There's only the immediate future and the recent past, right? Like...
So
you're not embarrassed.
Pants fall down in the crowded room. You're not embarrassed in that
you're
moment.
You're not embarrassed until you figure out what's going on. By the time you've figured out what's going on, it's already happened. I mean, it's cause and effect, right? Like, they don't happen at the same time. The cause is your pants falling down. The effect is you being embarrassed. Effect necessarily follows cause temporarily and temporarily.
Huh. There's nothing that dictates time go in a particular direction, so maybe embarrassment is causing your pants to fall down.
You know, there is something that dictates you not using bullshit arguments like that, and it's like social convention, right? That we not be giant smartasses.
Just saying.
I know. I know you're just saying, and I'm just saying that that's the problem. I hold that embarrassment is, let's say not retroactive, embarrassment is retrograde fear.
Retrograde.
Yeah. Because you're afraid that people think you're a dummy. There's a dude across the way that is always walking around without a shirt on. You'd probably like him. You guys could bond over, like, yeah, I totally did 40 reps on my lats.
You know, Jake makes fun of me, but he's the one that most recently has gone around in public with his shirt off.
Oh, come on. I was trying to avoid embarrassing. I was feeling embarrassed about something that had not yet happened. So, basically, I was experiencing fear.
Okay.
No, we were walking along on the beach, and I was just, I don't
not
know
just
why.
The two of us.
Sure,
at sunset or anything, because that would be weird.
No, it totally it was just me and Hot Stuff at sunset.
It was not.
And we gazed into each other's eyes, and I was like, you know what? It's time for me to take off my shirt. It's time for me to end this charade.
Because everything smells like death.
I'm the one with boobs now, because you're all in shape.
Yeah.
No, we were with a pretentious artist.
And his wife.
Right, and we were going to get some foods. And we were just walking on the beach, and like, the beach is just full of jackasses screaming.
There's like, it's not really a boardwalk. It's like a sidewalk.
Yeah.
Next to the beach.
It would be a boardwalk if there were boards on it.
Yeah.
We could have a board meeting there.
But on most boardwalks, there'd be like, you know, attractions and stuff on the side, as opposed to just a bunch of houses over. Like,
there were some bathing beauties that generated a significant amount of attraction in my mind. Maybe because you're gay. And not into surfers. There was nothing there for you. But fucking volleyball and drunk frat assholes. Ugh. I talked on the Monday show a lot about how much I hate the beach.
Yeah, you probably did.
I tried to dig a hole in the sand to influence the tide, but it turns out I'm just one man. I can't have a significant and meaningful influence on the tide.
Somebody came up with some sort of perpetual motion machine based on the tides.
That doesn't really count as a perpetual motion machine.
Well, right, because it's basically getting power from the moon. So, but it was kind of interesting. It took a while to like figure out where the external energy was coming from.
Was it not obvious that it was based on the tide when you first saw the
presentation? No, because it was about like water flow and like. I mean, I guess it kind of made sense that it was based on the tide, but it wasn't like, yeah, I don't know.
I see. Let's see. Greeny Lad, I don't exactly understand this. Maybe you can help me parse this. It would be cool if you guys implemented a dungeon loot paying interface so that clannies can pay their fee right away instead of asking every clan admin that's online and waiting for them to respond saying they're collecting loot fees. Is this people selling dungeon loot?
That I don't know. It could be that. It could be people who are like clans that are maybe have a pay-in. Like everybody has to pay part of the dungeon opening cost or something before they'll open it.
Or clans where you earn a certain amount of DKP. But if you fuck up and accidentally squeeze a gallbladder instead of tickling a uvula, you get 50 DKP minus.
Yeah, I don't know. The loot fees. I've not heard what that is in reference to.
I wonder what clan Linguini Lad is in.
Like, World of Warcraft never implemented any sort of in-game...
DKP?
DKP or loot measurement.
I don't think so.
Kind of stuff. Because that is so socially driven.
All right. So Linguini Lad is in KOL Addicts, so God knows
what
they do.
That's a huge... That and Circinum's clan are just ginormous, man.
Yep. Nightval wrote, the bag of tricks doesn't regenerate MP on non-combats. Bug or feature? Well, if it's true, it's a bug, but if so, it's maybe because adventure.php didn't get pushed out recently. Wait, that doesn't make any sense, because it uses the normal.
Well, is it a bug, or is it like the other... There are some things that only regenerate MB in, like, due to comments.
Yeah, the bag of tricks should not be one of them, though, because it's actually as an enchantment. I almost wrote a wiki item today for CD Moyer to write to change it so that we can just have multiple, more than three effects on, more than three enchantments on an item.
Because that's all hard-coded.
There is, anything with more than three enchantments on it is, at least one of them is like a hard-coded cosmetic enchantment. And that kind of sucks, especially for us trying to figure out like what does what. I wrote that nifty enchantment summary and then realized that most of the powerful items in the game are outside of its purview.
That's annoying.
Yeah, which does suck, but I don't know I don't know how much time it's worth. You know? This is one of those business decisions that I don't like making. I'll just flip a coin.
Flip 19 coins.
Flip Archduke Ferdinand. Heads we do it, tails we don't.
Landed heads up.
All right, well, then I guess we're going to have CD Moyer make it so we can add more. Nightvale said, also, you said you don't want an open link on the bag when equipped because it had set precedent for weirdness, but the sticker sword has a bedazzle even when equipped. Yeah, it's different.
It's very different.
It doesn't seem different to you, but it is different.
Yeah.
Because bedazzle is its own script. Let's see. ACM says, somebody asked on Monday for reduced stats to appear in red, and you added it to your to-do list. I abbreviated it ANUS, too. However, I suspect that the reason you didn't do this in the beginning is because currently red is used to indicate dire HP stats, and using red elsewhere might cause one to miss one's grim health. Yeah. You know, it's one of those things that, like, seems like a good idea, but there's probably a good reason that I never did it in the first place. You know?
So, I don't know. That could reduce stats when you first made things blue?
Probably. Yeah, like, confuse. I mean, among the first effects are stat reductions.
Okay.
It was someone else who wrote, Jake, did you know it's possible to set up in the option to start a game with no pet in NetHack? I never start with a pet, as it's too much of a pain, as you said. Yeah. I mean, also just ignoring the pet is pretty easy. Cubs Maniac says, can you make the engulfed adventure in the slime tube go away for a while if you squirm back out, like something similar to the marketplace in Hobopolis? We did that for like a minute.
A day.
About as long as Schmitty's been trying to hit that.
Yeah.
And then it was requested that we change it back.
Yep. Because so, it was not specific to the clan.
And it can't... In. It would be a pain in the ass to make it be specific to the clan.
And it's not it's hard, specific hard on to, the a, database. To a specific instance of the dungeon.
Yeah, too. That was the problem. It's not... It's... Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's like, if you stay in the clan and you've got that thing and they close the dungeon and open it back up again... Then you're kind of sit there. You're gonna sit there, spinning your wheels. And if we also don't have it specific to a clan, which is another problem, you could leave the clan, go to another clan's instance of the slime tube, and try to do stuff, and it wouldn't work either.
And it's especially frustrating because if you're tattering away from combats,
yes,
you'll just do it
forever,
potentially infinitely, without realizing that the thing is not actually possible as an encounter right now because of your flag. So it's one of those things where there's no good answer, right? Like, having it this way pisses some people off. Having it the other way pisses other people off.
Yeah. There's not a good solution for it, basically.
If, you know, and maybe it is more feasible than I think it is, technically. Like, it's not that it's technically infeasible. It's that I feel like it's bad for the database if a conditional is hitting a clan flag. Although, there are other adventure conditionals that hit the clan flags.
Every too. Adventure?
Well, it's not always going to happen, right? Like,
oh, it's just when that comes.
It's
up.
Only going to get checked if it rolls for an adventure. I mean, we could do it. We could.
Because that's
it.
The only adventure in there, right? So it's it's
so worst case scenario. It's every fourth turn spent in there. It's one additional hit on the clan flag table. And I guess there are a bunch of non-combats in Hobopolis that check clan flags and the conditionals.
Okay, they're a lot less common, but
yeah, well, not really. There's nothing that has less than a 5% non-combat rate. Ziltang says, game design question. What benefit does KOL get from not displaying fullness? Do you wish Metroplexity would do the same thing? That's an interesting question. Doesn't really gain any benefit from not displaying fullness. Mostly, fullness just isn't funny. Having a stat that's how drunk you are is funny. Having a stat that's how full you are is not funny. Seems to be that other games that rely a lot on user feedback and aren't as stubborn as me tend toward that.
Towards having information available.
Well, specifically like the fullness thing, right? Like,
so we don't give you your fullness or your spleen.
Yeah.
And they both are actual numbers that you can know about your character.
Yeah. It probably would bug me if I was trying to play it really seriously, you know. But it didn't bug me when I was playing 12 Sands. You know, I knew that I was getting more turns by eating, and I had a vague sense of like which food was better, but I didn't really. 12 Sands also had
very different kind of
system that I never really really understood. And, well, I mean, it's not that I didn't understand the turns system. It's that I didn't really understand the way the food worked. And I don't think anybody else did either. Like, I think the reason that he kept changing the system was because he was frustrated that nobody was figuring out how it worked.
Huh.
But, you know, it had quality gradations on food, which I'm just going to fucking do this. I'm just going to do this. This is going to be like the Tuesday update for this Tuesday.
It's going to
put...
Yes.
No, it's not.
Doesn't, because the numbers that are in the thing,
it's gonna take it's gonna take 10 seconds.
No,
it's gonna take 10 hours. It's gonna
all the old food. You could maybe do something that would populate it, but basically everything we've made in the past year or two, you're gonna have to do manually.
No, okay. I'm not. All right. All the data is in the database. Just because it's not there in the, I might not be able to do it in a single query, right? But anything, you know, I could write a script that would populate the quality field on anything that didn't, that it currently mismatched the actual quality. Who knows what else that's going to fuck up, though.
Yeah.
Right? I could do that. But what I could also do is I could just store that in an array, and I could just then, I could write a script that did a little report that was like, this is what I'm going to put, this is how I'm going to describe all of this food. You know? Although, yeah, no, I see what you're saying.
It's non-trivial, is all I'm saying. I'm not saying that you shouldn't do it. I think it's a great idea. It's not as straightforward as you...
The item, but it kind of is. The item description pop-up could just check the consumption table, like in terms of how much people have eaten, but the table that determines how many turns you get.
Yeah.
Right? The item description, when it saw that it had food in it, or booze, could just look at that table, determine how many turns you were getting. There would have to be a few cases that were like the Spooky Raven wines would have to be hard-coded, right? Because who knows what they are.
And there's also
unreliable booze.
Things that give you a lot of stats, are those considered better or worse than...
That I don't care about.
Huh.
Turns are the important thing.
I mean, in some...
On the crazy bleeding edge, people don't care about this. On the crazy bleeding edge, people already know.
On the crazy bleeding edge, people already know what, though?
Which things are good and which things are bad. This is not for them.
Okay.
This is for people like me.
Who don't know what the foods are.
I was playing 12 Sands, and it was fine, you know? Like, there was some food that I got from, like, turning in these, like, dungeon tokens that I knew was very good because I knew from experimentation that you could eat a lot of them in a day, right? They were very small in terms of fullness or whatever fullness mechanism there was. But he eventually went on to this thing where it was like, you're feeling a little full, you're feeling pretty full, you're feeling kind of full, you're feeling super full, you can't eat another bite, even in a wafer thin mint. And then move from that to a just percentage of how full your stomach was.
Huh.
And I don't know. I don't know that 12 Sands ever really got a good spading movement mechanic, you know.
Right.
Going. Mechanic was not the word that belonged in that sentence. It's momentum. Momentum?
Yeah.
Momoka.
Yeah. I mean, do it. You know?
I'm not ever gonna let your naysaying stop me from doing anything. In fact, I'm gonna be like, hey, hot stuff, I'm going to give everybody an ultra rare. And you're like, no, that's a terrible idea. And I'm like, you say no to everything, you asshole.
Yeah.
Chai JD says, what the heck is wrong with the art for the stolen office supplies? Chai JD sounds like Napoleon Dynamite. Gah. Are those squiggles supposed to be paper clips? As Scully might say, I cannot masturbate to this. Make it again. They're not that bad, are they?
I don't think so.
Office. Yes, they're fucking paper clips. What is wrong with you? This art is perfect.
I think this belongs
on the Sistine Chapel.
I think the problem is that you're trying to masturbate to office supplies.
See, if you're going to masturbate to something, it ought to be the slimy spear gun.
Ew.
What? You don't masturbate to drawings of cocks and balls?
No.
Because that's what that is. I was just like, I drew a cock and balls, and then I was like, what can I pretend that this was supposed to be? Oh, slimy spear gun, ha, 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 ha. Cock and balls. I am a user of something.
That's true.
So any content that I create is user-created content.
That is also true.
KOL Girl 21 says, happy B-Day, Jick. So will next Crimbo be as boring and anticlimactic as the last?
I hope that's in jest, right?
Ishtenbul says, why doesn't holding the huge mirror shard in your offhand deflect the fireball? I'm still holding it, wielding it, whatever. Well, because when I wrote that code, there was no dual-fisted skull smashing. I think that I keep meaning to fix that. I'm really surprised that it didn't get fixed a long time ago.
Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't fix that. Maybe you never pushed it.
Sobraket835 says, why can't we use the War Hippie outfit to buy from the Fresh Produce store? Because they're
hippies.
They're hippies. The people who run the produce stand are not in the army.
Yeah.
So they spit on you instead of selling you spit.
Don't you recognize the inherent contradiction of being a war hippie?
War man.
Never ends.
I think those are my favorite non-combat art. The war man and the war bra posters. Yaruk says, newer squeezables are really fun, but clicky to use. Could they all just use in a cycle? Going from spooky miter to sheet and back might take a dozen clicks and be done a few times daily. But that's the cost. The damage that they do to you. I could quadruple the damage that they do and make them in a reliable rotation. You know, that's the problem. I see what you mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's see. Iaruk says, what if you recolor the blue border around events based on rarity/frequency? Yellow for semi-rare, orange for once a day, red for boss once in ascension. No content revision needed.
Huh.
I could kind of see...
Subtle, but I can imagine.
I could kind of see that, you know.
Yeah.
You know, the title bar of those things is something that we sometimes use and sometimes don't, right? Sometimes we use it for content titles. I tend to not look at it at all. Yeah, sometimes it says results or whatever. You know, it could say encounter, special encounter, you know. Is the fight in a blue box?
I thought everything was in a blue box.
I suddenly can't. Yeah, I guess it is. I'm going to fight something. Why do I not know this?
I don't know. It's as if you did this 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah, that's true. It's fucking weird, man. It's fucking weird how much of my life is based on just some totally random shit that I pulled out of my ass 5 years ago. Fineldar says, Jick, do you still have that problem with the ghost audio files on your iPod? You said it would randomly go to some Martin Lawrence or audiobooks that you no longer had on your iPod. Nah, Steve Martin. That was funny. I hope you did that on purpose. Mine kind of does that, too. Old files that I had removed still exist, but I can't actually see them. I have to fast forward through my stuff and now playing. Figured it was a problem during the auto-sync iPod thing and not manually.
Did he not... resolve it?
I don't know. I figured out what it was on mine. Well, I had a podcast that I had just downloaded as an MP3 and manually synced up, and so it was just the first thing in the list of MP3s in my iPod. So there's apparently something that will just play something in your...
If you, like, I don't know what the thing is. If you're in the middle of a podcast or a song or whatever like that, I think it's if you plug it in, maybe, or sync it or something, if you then try to, like, just start, like, if you use the button on whatever, it'll just go to the first song.
Yeah. I think that is what was happening.
I see.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense.
And it was like, oh, you know, it's playing this particular podcast, so I'm going to go in and delete every instance of this podcast that I have, but I really didn't, because there was that one,
that was
an MP3 that I never used. And then I'd rip those Steve Martin albums to listen to on my bike ride, and so it would play
because
Steve
they
Martin.
Were, you didn't put any 93 tags on them or something?
No, I did.
Oh, you did. But they just...
But it was having it happen with a Steve Martin made me realize what was going on with that podcast, because the Steve Martin albums were 93.
Excuse me.
Fineldar also says, speaking of unintuitive bullshit, yo, Hot Stuff Dog, I heard you like Macs, so I only put one pedal in your car. Now, he uses a Mighty Mouse, which, if you are not me, has multiple buttons.
Yeah. It's just one piece of plastic.
It is goddamned infuriating to me the way that that works. For those of you who haven't been listening to the show and memorizing everything that we said for the last couple of years, Apple's Mighty Mouse... It is a multiple-button mouse, right? Yeah. But it's not really like a button, right?
The entire top is a single piece.
The entire
plastic.
Top is a single button, and it figures out where your finger is based on some kind of bullshit.
It's like those lamps that you can touch.
Sure.
It's electro.
But you cannot right-click if your left finger is still on the mouse.
Correct.
And that is fucking bullshit. That makes it fucking useless. I don't know anybody who sits there with their fingers hovering over the mouse buttons in midair.
I did not have a problem with it, and just never even noticed that was a problem.
Well, that's because you are apparently immune to fucking bullshit. Fineldar then tells a funny story. I was at work today, and a repairman was fixing this machine, and because the thing always breaks down and is trivial to fix, people are just too stupid and call it in, he was grumbling and gestured to this banana and made some comment about how the banana could do his job for him. I picked up the banana and said, "You got the job, buddy! You got the job!" And I guess someone else in the office got it, because he started walking out the door backwards singing the Backwards Man song. Freddy got fingered. Best movie ever or worst movie ever? Sometimes that's genius, sometimes he's jacking off a horse. You just ignore the parts where he's jacking off the horse. It is clearly the best movie ever.
Oh, God.
And there are just parts of it that are not funny. And the parts of it that are not funny are the things that people associate with Tom Green, right? Because it's like the, you know, ooh, look, I'm doing something shocking or whatever. Oh, boy. The banana applying for a job as a telephone repairman. That is awesome.
Is it because you can hold a banana up to your ear? Because that's kind of funny.
No, I think that it was just some random shit.
Wow.
I wonder who drew that stuff in the movie.
I don't know.
I don't know if Tom Green can actually draw.
I don't know.
We should get off the radio.
Oh, should we?
Yeah.
Wow. Time flies.
Well, we were having fun.
So, yeah, I don't know.
Or like Kermit the Frog said, time's fun when you're having flies.
I don't know if the trip to LA is going to interfere with your Monday show or not.
I suspect that it will. What time is LA?
Well, we can get there whenever is the thing, right? So, we could leave after the radio show if it's early enough. If you really wanted to get there late, we could leave early in the morning.
How long does it take to get to LA from here? Two hours?
Like 6 hours.
6 hours from here?
Yeah.
I don't really want to go after the radio show then.
Okay.
God damn, that sucks. How is it further from here to LA than it is from Phoenix to LA?
It's like an equilateral triangle.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's hard for me to imagine.
Okay.
Anyway.
It's like one.
This is a fantastic way to end the radio show.
Woohoo!
All right. We'll see you kids Thursday.
Thursday.
You'll theoretically
maybe on Monday.
Hear me embarrassing myself before that.
Yeah, we should put an announcement on the main pitch.
Yeah.
How about that?
Although I'm afraid that as soon as we say something about it on the main page, that it will turn out to be some bogus. I'll get bumped because somebody actually worth talking to will get booked.
We put some very tentative announcement in theory. Yeah.
All right. I'll see you kids Thursday.
Yeah. Have a good weekend, everybody.